Welcome to Burnside at Home for Sunday, the 2nd of October. Today, we continue our adventure through the book of Revelation, and our reading will end today with a declaration of praise and worship to our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how I pray we will end up at the end of our time together today, singing his praise and worshiping him. At the end of chapter 5, we read, "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen, and the elders fell down and worshipped." So let's come before God then in prayer together. Lord, you are worshipped in heaven as both the mighty lion and the lamb who was slain. With the heavenly choir before your throne, we cry today, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and bought us with your blood out of every tribe, language, people, and nation, and made us rulers and priests to our God to reign on earth. We declare today that you are holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. You are worthy to take the scroll of salvation and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God each one of us. From every tribe and language and people and nation, you have made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. You are worthy, the Lamb who was slain. You're worthy to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise. To you who sits on the throne and to you, the Lamb, be praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Many of you will know that I am a big Formula One fan, and I love watching the races. I love reading about the drivers. I love listening to podcasts and watching YouTube about the strategy involved in the races. Anything to do with Formula One, I love it. A few years ago, we were on holiday in England, and our friends had an opportunity to go to the Mercedes factory to watch one of the races. And when they got there, there were large screens to view the action. But they were also shown round where the race engineers were. And there were rows upon rows of technicians sitting in front of computer screens, watching every little detail about their cars on the track. The race, well, it was taking place in a different country, but back in England, they were watching everything. And if they noticed anything different, they were in direct communication with the team at the race. Slight difference in tire pressure, an increase in engine temperature, the possibility of rain, all these things were monitored and information passed on. Their aim was to make sure that their cars could be driven as safely and as quickly as possible. The drivers in the cars were able to race to their full potential because this whole team was behind them, ensuring that they had everything that they needed to win that race. Last week in the revelation of Jesus Christ, we were looking at the church, seven churches in particular, seven churches that were seeking to be a witness for and servants of Jesus Christ. And as the churches are the drivers in the cars. So today in chapters 4 and 5, we're going behind the scenes to the factory, as it were, to see who is in charge and what is going on so that the church can survive in this world. The curtain that normally keeps this side of the operation hidden from our eyes is being pulled back, and John is brought up to see what is going on. We're going to read chapter 4 in a moment, and we're going to find out that God is seated on his throne. And there are all sorts of dramatic things going on. There's flashes of lightning, rumbles of thunder, there's a sea of glass, and there are 24 elders around the throne, probably the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes of Israel, the Old and New Testaments gathered around to worship God. And the four living creatures that we met a few weeks ago in Isaiah 6 are still flying around the throne. And the message is clear. God is on his throne. He is in control. Satan has not defeated God. Satan is not the one in charge. God is in control. We are the church here on earth, and this is what enables us to keep living here day by day. This is what means that we do not give up. We see all that is happening in heaven, and we therefore patiently endure whatever is going on around us because we know that Jesus is coming back again. This life, it is worth living. And we can be faithful and true because we know that God is on his throne and Jesus is among the lampstands of his church, and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in our hearts. Look at what is happening in heaven in this chapter and take heart today. Do not give up. I'm going to read chapter 4, and all I want you to do as I read is picture the scene. John is telling us what he sees, and there is so much to take in. Any picture that I try and put up on the screens today to try to produce would be a poor imitation. So simply listen and picture the scene before John, and then be encouraged that this is what is still happening in heaven today. So let's read together from Revelation chapter 4. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the centre, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox, the third had the face like a man, the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honour and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." So let's move on to the next chapter, chapter 5. And in chapter 5, we are still in this throne room in heaven, and we have one of the most beautiful descriptions of our salvation that I think we will find anywhere in Scripture. We'll read the chapter in a moment or two, but let me explain what's happening so that we can appreciate what we are hearing. Remember that blessing is promised to those who read and to those who hear and take to heart this book. In chapter 5, we are still in the throne room. And John's attention is drawn to a scroll that is in God's hand. This scroll is sealed, so no one can see what is written on it. But as it turns out, it's God's plan of salvation. It's God's plan for history. But there seems to be a problem. No one is able to open the scroll, and therefore no one is able to bring salvation. And John begins to weep, because this is a desperate situation. If no one is able to come forward and take hold of the scroll and open its seals, then there is no salvation for those who have sinned, and therefore there is no hope for anyone on earth. But at that point, one of the elders speaks up, and he says, "Look, here comes the Lion of Judah." And immediately, there is hope. The Lion of Judah is coming. Surely he will open the scroll. Surely he will bring salvation. And John senses this hope. And as they look round to see the approaching lion, something very different appears. Not a lion, but it is a lamb. And not only a lamb, but one that looks as though it has been killed. This is not the powerful, majestic lion that everyone is hoping for, but it is a lamb that looks as though it has been defeated. But the lamb goes forward and takes the scroll. And as he takes the scroll, every creature in heaven begins to worship. And we'll read of their worship in a moment or two. It's probably too obvious to say, but just so that we're not in any doubt today, this lamb is, of course, Jesus, who is often referred to as the Lion of Judah. The world is expecting a powerful leader, a great lion to come, to take over, to take control. And instead, Jesus, the Lamb of God, goes to the cross. He dies on the cross for our sin. He even tells us about that in the opening chapter of this Revelation. He says in chapter 1, verse 18, "I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Jesus is the one who has died. He died for our sins. He has now risen with victory. And in heaven, he is taking the scroll that no one else can open, and he is fulfilling God's plan of salvation. There is no one else worthy to open the scroll, only Jesus Christ. So here we are on earth, and we should trust Jesus because there is no one else who is able to save. And there is nowhere else that we can find salvation except in Jesus. There's no other religion that can forgive sin. There's no other way to please God but to accept Jesus Christ. There's no other solution for this town, no other solution for this nation, no other solution for this planet. Only Jesus. Only he is worthy. This world is broken, and Jesus offers the only solution. So let's read chapter 5. And I want you to imagine the scene as I read. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its 7 seals. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the 4 living creatures and the elders. The lamb had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and when he had taken it, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000, they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever." The 4 living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. Having read that together, I want to direct you to a song, I can't include it in this recording because of copyright reasons, but you can find it on the internet. It's a song, Is He Worthy, by Andrew Peterson. And it begins with listing the problems that we see in the world today, how this world is broken, and then asks this very question. Is there anyone who is worthy to sort this mess out? And borrowing the language of Revelation 5, the chorus of the song states, is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. We live in a world that will have us believe that this is all a fairy tale. We live in a world that undermines the authority of God's word every day. And people are falling for this lie. They are slowly slipping away and turning their back on Christ and his church. They've lost all hope. They've come to the conclusion that no one is worthy. They have decided that there is no need for a plan of salvation. And yet when we see what is happening in heaven, we realize that we have a Savior. And he has taken the scroll and he has opened the scroll and he alone is able to open the scroll. Remember what Jesus said to Thomas when Thomas asked him where he was going. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We need salvation, and there is no one else who is able to bring it. We may be looking around for a great and mighty lion, but the Lamb who was slain, the one who was dead but is now alive, who was and is to come, the Almighty, he is here. And he has offered himself, and all we have to do is accept his salvation and trust in him. We're told that in this throne room, they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they will reign on the earth. We have a Redeemer in Jesus Christ, God's own Son, the precious Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Holy One. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you today for our Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who is worthy. We thank you that he is the only way, the truth and the life, that no one is able to come to you except through him. And so, Lord, we praise you and honour you this day. And now we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.